Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, we're going to dig right into the message today because I have a lot of stuff to give you in a short amount of time. So we're gonna do our best to feed you and feed you quickly. Amen. We will feed you and feed you quickly. If you normally go on YouVersion and follow Pastor's notes, I want to let you know this morning, I apologize, but YouVersion was not working. So I tried my best to get my notes on there this morning, and it would not take it. So I don't think it's on our end. I think it's something on their end. So if you were looking for it and you did not find it, that's the reason. Amen. I'm going to start reading in Romans chapter 8, and I believe this morning that that God has sent me with a word on assignment for a few people in this sanctuary this morning. I think it's a good word for each and every person in here today, but I think for a few people, it's an assignment word. And sometimes you know you have an assignment word when the enemy comes against you. Sometimes you know that somebody's life is about to change with a word that you're about to speak when right in the middle, before you get ready to present that word, the enemy comes against you and you find all kinds of opposition just rising up all around you. And then the enemy whispers in your ear, maybe that wasn't the right word. Maybe you're supposed to be bringing a different message. And then you have to clarify yourself and get on your knees and seek God. And God says, no, that's the message I told you to bring. That's the reason you have opposition rising up around you. So I believe this message to be a life changer for somebody in this room. It may not be a life changer for everybody in this room because that would be quite a feat because all of you are at different places in your life. But I do believe this is a life changer for somebody in this room. We're going to be reading in Romans chapter 8. I'm going to be in verse 31 to start off with, guys. And this scripture is actually the antithesis to my message. So this scripture is actually opposite of what I'm going to be preaching on today. So I'll explain that in a minute. Let's dive into the scripture. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, and if you have never underlined a word in your Bible, I'd recommend you underline that word. Because when yet shows up, it means we're turning a corner. It means we may be marked as sheep for the slaughter. We may be slaughtered all day long. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me from the love of my God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise for that word this morning. Because if that word was the only word that we heard this morning and left here, I believe that we would have heard enough. Amen. If that word was all that we came to hear today and left, God's word is more than enough. However, God has placed it on my heart to share with you a message today. And if we go to our first slide, it's titled Rejecting Rejection. Rejecting Rejection. Many people in this life walk around in bondage and chains and prison cells and aren't even aware of it. Many people in this sanctuary go through life in chains and in bondage and aren't even aware of it. Sometimes we talk about chains and bondage in this life, and we talk about addictions to tobacco and to alcohol and to drugs and to sex and to pornography and to things like that being chains and bondage in our life. And yes, those are chains and those are bondage and those are things we need to be set free of. However, some of the biggest chains and some of the biggest bondages that we deal with in life is our emotions. Sometimes our emotions can keep us so chained up and so full of bondage that it affects every single area of our life. It affects every single relationship that we get involved in. It affects every single person that we talk to. And there are certain emotions that are worse than others. How many of you know that humans have a myriad of emotions? We have tons of them. You don't believe me? Open up your iPhone and go look at all the emojis. What do you think those are based on? Those are based on human emotions, right? You can open that up and you can look through all the emojis and you see anger, right? And you see sadness. And you see happiness. You see glee. One of those emojis is a laughing until I cried. I don't know if I've ever laughed until I cried, but I use that emoji all the time, right? It's glee, gleefulness. And then we have emotions that overtake us like bitterness and unforgiveness and hostility and depression and fear. And those are emotions that overtake us and they cause and wreak havoc in situations and relationships that we're involved in. But I believe the most painful and hindering emotional bondage that we deal with as people is rejection. Rejection. I believe that's the most painful and the most hurtful bondage emotionally that we deal with as people is rejection. Now, I'm not talking about instances of rejection, although instances of rejection add up and become spirits of rejection in our life. And that, so I'm not talking necessarily about instances of rejection. Has anybody ever felt rejection for an instant? Right? Three of us have been rejected in life for an instant, right? How many of you have ever felt rejection for an instant, right? Just an instant. I'm not asking you if you have a spirit of rejection. I'm asking you if you've ever felt it, right? I remember in fifth grade, there was this beautiful young lady, and she was sitting next to me on the bus, and I wanted to get to know this beautiful young lady. I'm sorry, honey, but that was before I met you. And I looked at her, and I was a little, you know, little ladies' man in fifth grade, you know. And I was sitting on the bus, and I look over at her, and I just winked and smiled real big. And she looked at me, and she goes, "Your teeth are too big for your head." I don't think I smiled again for about 6 months, right? Now, as an adult, I know to say, hey, my head's going to grow into my teeth. You know, eventually those two are going to match and I'm okay, right? As an adult, I know that. As a fifth grade kid, I'm thinking something is detrimentally wrong with me. My teeth are too big for my head. Mom, I need new teeth. My teeth are too big for my head. Amen? Those are moments of rejection that we get in life. It may have been on the basketball court when you came up for a layup, right? And back in the day, somebody would smack the ball away from you when you came up for a layup, and they would knock it away, and they would go, "Rejected!" Right? There was even a commercial that went around starring Dikembe Mutombo, which is a huge NBA player, and maybe you've seen this, and there's a guy like in an office, and he crumples up the paper he's working on, and he goes to throw it in the trash can, and this NBA player shoots in the room and knocks the paper away from the can and goes, "Not in my house," right? Has anybody seen those commercials? Right. Those are hilarious, right? But I'm not talking about instance of rejection like that. I'm not talking about asking somebody for a date and they said no, right? Because sometimes we can feel rejected in the moment, but it's not something that we carry with us for life. Right, I've been rejected in the moment, but it wasn't something I carried with me for life. And then there's an emotional bondage, which is a spirit of rejection, which can come on a person, and it can affect them for the rest of their life unless they get delivered by the hand of God. And that is the kind of rejection that I'm talking about today. And three things rejection does in your life. Number one, it causes you to believe a lie about yourself. You're getting counsel from the accuser of the brethren. You're saying, I need to know things about me, and I'm going to go to the devil and ask him to tell me. You're getting counsel for your life from Diablos himself. You're going to him for counsel, and then you're believing what he says in your life. Rejection says that I am not worthy, I am not good enough, and there's something defective about me. And that's believing a lie about yourself. The second thing that rejection does in your life is it causes you to project upon other people the thoughts about you that aren't true. So not only do you believe the lie about yourself, but you look at other people and think that they think the same thing that you're believing that the enemy told you. So how does it affect your relationship? Because you look at somebody that you're in a relationship with, and because you believe the lie about you that is not true, you project it upon them, and then everything that comes out of their mouth, everything that they say, whether it's positive or negative, you spin into a negative light, and you say that reinforces the lie that I already believe that I am not good enough. This is how the spirit of rejection takes out people in this world. This is how it takes out people in the church. This is how the spirit of rejection takes out Christians each and every day, because Christians are not immune to the spirit of rejection, but you're very open to it unless you stay protected. Amen? The third thing it does is it undermines your relationship with God. So it causes you to believe a lie. It causes you to project that lie on other people. And then you go so far projecting that lie on other people that you project that lie on God. And you say, I'm taking this that the devil spoke into me to tell me that I'm not good enough, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not worth fighting for, that I'm not valuable. I'm taking all of this and I'm projecting it on God and saying that God believes these things about me. And good Christians who have been Christians for 37 and a half years, Christians who have read the Bible each and every day, who did not protect themselves against a spirit of rejection and allow a crack in the door for the enemy to get inside and begin to build that rejection up in their life, read the Word of God and say, that doesn't apply to me. They read things like, I knew you in your mother's womb. And they say, that doesn't apply to me. And they read things like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And they say, yes, that applies to somebody, but that doesn't apply to me. Because they're projecting the lie upon God. What I have to ask you this morning is, does your personal rejection experiences bother you? Do they hinder your life? Or maybe you've never thought about it. Maybe you've never even noticed it. Maybe you've been in bondage to a spirit of rejection in your life and you've never given it a second thought. You've never noticed it. You've noticed drama and you've noticed turmoil take place in your life and in your relationships, but you never discovered why. You never chased it down. You may say to me this morning, Pastor Steve, no. Those rejection experiences don't bother me anymore because I met God up here at the altar one day and he healed me of all that pain. He healed me of all that hurt, and no longer does my rejection experiences in the past bother me. And I say, glory be to God. Hallelujah. That's what we all need. And if that's you in this room this morning, I praise God for you. You may say, I don't let that stuff bother me. My mama told me long ago to build a bridge and get over it. So I don't let that stuff bother me. But maybe that is true, but maybe you haven't taken it to God to heal the pain. You haven't taken it to God to heal the hurt. So you're a Tupperware stuffer. Go ahead and ask me, Brent, what's a Tupperware stuffer? You take all your emotions and all your pain and all your hurt from these relationships and you stuff them into a Tupperware container. You pop the lid on nice and tight and you shove it in the back of the refrigerator. And you say, I don't let that stuff bother me. The problem is, eventually, you have to clean out your refrigerator. How many of you have cooked leftovers and stuck them in Tupperware and stuck it to the back of the fridge because you didn't feel like washing that dish? Anybody? Anybody brave enough to raise a hand? Yeah, a few of you are, right? Well, you know what? We're not going to eat this, and it really wasn't that good anyway. But, you know, somebody might in about a month or so go ahead and clean this out for me. And I'm not gonna do it right now. So I'm going to put all this stuff in this Tupperware, and I'm going to stick it to the back of the fridge. And then one day, all of your Tupperware containers are gone, and you don't know where they're at. And you're trying to put something that you really want to save and that you're really going to eat the next day in Tupperware. But you can't find any containers because they're all gone. And you're like, where in the world are all my Tupperware containers? Where in the world did they all go? And then you open up the fridge, and you got 18 painful experiences in your life shoved to the back of the fridge, and it's taken up so much room that you don't have any room to put anything good in your refrigerator. You don't have any room to put in a meal that people are actually going to enjoy and consume and grow from, because you've taken all the junk and you filled up all of your containers and you filled up your fridge with them. And then what happens? You have a day of reckoning, right? I'm talking about really when we really do this and in the spiritual. You have a day of reckoning. Oh, man, today's clean out the fridge day, right? We put on our rubber gloves, our mask, clothespin on our nose, right? And we open up that fridge and we get out the bleach and the Clorox cleanup and the sponges. And we're like, okay, we've got to get all this. You grab your trash can and then you got to make sure you do it on trash day, because if you don't, you know, it stinks up your whole neighborhood because you put it in your trash cans and you got dirty, nasty, rotten food and it's rotten up your whole neighborhood. And you're like, what in the world is that smell? And your neighbors are staring at you from across the street. See, that's how far this stuff can go. Amen. But if you keep your house clean, if the moment it happens, you say, God, I feel this pain and I feel this hurt, but I'm not going to bend to it. Lord, take it. Keep a short account within yourself. Don't stuff it in Tupperware. Don't stick it to the back of the fridge. Or maybe you're sitting here this morning and this is something fresh. This is something fresh in your life. And when I mentioned rejection, when I talked about rejection, maybe tears welled up in the back of your eyes this morning. And you're thinking about a particular situation in your life where you feel rejected. And maybe pain begins to build up in your gut this morning. And you are dealing with the fresh pains of rejection in your life. Maybe that's where you're at this morning and you don't know how to handle it. And rejection is feeling like, I don't belong. I'm not wanted. They don't want me to be their friend. I'm not worthy. I don't fit in here. I'm different. These may be some of the things that you feel. I'm defective. Something is deeply wrong with me. I'm defective. And this may be something that you feel. And I'm here to tell you this morning that emotions are very, very, very real in our lives. Emotions are real, but they're not always right. And just because you feel so strongly that something is wrong with you, just because you believe so strongly that you're defective, that you're not valuable, that you're not worth fighting for, I'm here to tell you this morning that those emotions are false. The feelings are real, but the emotions are false. The truth behind them is not true. What you have grabbed a hold of and believe in today is not true. You must deny it. I want to go on record to say that every single person in this room, whether it's your first time with us or your 360,000th time here at church today, that there is a place for each and every person in this room here at Crystal River Church of God. There's a place for you to serve. There's a place for you to belong. There's a place for you to connect. And there's people who will love you and who will wrap their arms around you and who will accept you and will live alongside you in this life and do life with you if you will allow them. And then I'm going to go one step further and say, just because we're a Crystal River Church of God doesn't mean that we're the only church. And there is actually a church that is greater than Crystal River Church of God, and that is the kingdom. That is Jesus's church, and we are all a part of that, whether we are Baptist, Pentecostal, whether we are Catholic, whether we are whatever. If we have accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we're part of a greater church, and you have a place in that greater church as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rejection sometimes occurs because of things we've done in the past that we're unable to forgive of ourselves, so we project that feeling onto other people. We're unable to forgive of ourselves, so we project it on everybody else, and we say that we're not worthy to be loved because I've done this in the past. Rejection can even take place in the womb. You say, how in the world can you be rejected in the womb? Maybe your mother didn't want you. Maybe you were given up for adoption. Maybe a spirit of rejection came upon you at that time. Rejection can take place in the crib and follow you to the casket if you don't deal with it, if you don't grab a hold of it, if you don't allow God to cast it off. Rejection can take a hold of you, and it can ruin your life. It can ruin every marriage. It can ruin every relationship between mom and child. And just because parents made a decision while a child was in the womb that they didn't want them for a moment, but then they changed their mind, doesn't mean that spirit of rejection left. It needs to be cast off. It needs to be cast away. So it brings me to my first point this morning. Rejection sends a message. Rejection is actually a tactic of the enemy, which is the direct opposite of agape. God loves us with an agape love, and the enemy hates us with a rejection and a spirit of rejection. God wants that spirit of rejection to rest on us more than the love of agape. And when we receive it and we don't cast it off and we don't get rid of it, then we tend to believe it and we grip it and we carry it through our life. David was a king. Right? But he was rejected by his own family. Samuel walked up into the house, into Jesse's house, and said, bring me all of your sons, because one of them I'm going to anoint as king today. And Jesse brought out 7 of his sons and did not include the 8th. He brought out 7 of his boys and said, it must be one of these because it's definitely not that one out there. He was rejected by his own family, and yet God grabbed him and brought him in and redeemed him and made him king. See, I don't care where you're at in this life, what message rejection has sent you, you can go from rejection to redemption in a moment's notice. It doesn't matter what created things say about you, believe about you, feel about you. All that matters is that the Creator thinks about you and feels about you and loves you. Hallelujah. Why would somebody dealing with rejection give rejection? Has anybody in your life ever rejected you repeatedly, but you know that they dealt with rejection themselves? That's because rejectors are some of the biggest rejectors. Rejected people are some of the biggest rejectors in life. And you say, what's the spiritual thing? Where do you find that in the Word? If you go to the book of Hosea and you look at Gomer and Hosea, God went to a prophet and said, I want you to go into a town and you're going to find a broken woman who is rejected by society, who was a prostitute, and you're going to marry her and you're going to make her your wife, and you're going to live with her and you're going to have kids with her. Hosea went and found this woman named Gomer, and he brought her home and he married her and he had kids with her and he lived with her. Gomer was a rejected person in society. And guess what Gomer did to Hosea? She rejected his kindness, she rejected his love, and she went back into prostitution. Because that's what rejected people do. They continue this crazy cycle in their life unless they allow God to heal them. They continue this crazy cycle. Have you ever known someone who came to church and you just knew they got delivered and they were healed and they were jumping up and down and they were praising God, and then the next week they were back in the scene that brought all of that stuff on them to begin with? Have you ever seen that? Because it's a crazy cycle, and if we don't get rid of those spirits, if we don't clean our house and then fill that house with the Holy Spirit, it still has control over our lives and our choices. So we have to get rid of it. See, rejected people aren't happy about their own life, so they're not going to allow you to be happy about theirs. Has anybody ever heard of the crab rule, right? Has anybody ever gone out and fished for crabs? I'm not going to ask you if you caught crabs. That's a whole different thing. I'm going to ask you if you've ever gone out and fished for crabs, right? You put some meat on a hook and you drop it off the seawall, and then when the crabs grab hold of meat, you pull them up and you stick them in a bucket, right? And then you have a bucket full of crabs. Did you ever see, watch those crabs? Did you ever see one try to escape? When one crab almost gets to the top, he stood on all his little brothers and sisters in there and almost got to the top. He got one claw on the lip of the top of the bucket and was getting ready to Arnold Schwarzenegger himself over the top of that bucket and drop back into the water. Just at that moment, another crab comes up behind him and claws his leg and yanks him back down, right? That's what we do as rejected people living in rejected relationships with other rejected people. We continuously have this cycle of crab behavior where one tries to rise out of it, one gets a vision, one decides, I'm no longer going to put up with this life, and we're going to fix this relationship, and they get a vision for it, and they start to climb. They start to climb, and then right when they get to the top, the other rejected person in the relationship grabs them and yanks them right back down into the bottom. That's what we do. That's the crazy cycle, and that's why we have to get delivered from it. That's why we have to get it off of us so that it no longer affects our lives, our marriages, our relationships, and everything else. Facebook could be the largest social experiment in the world. Facebook could be the largest emotional experiment in the world. I guarantee you there's more rejection that happens each and every day on Facebook than in interactions and with individuals face-to-face, right? Facebook rejection is a real thing in this culture and in this society today. And people use Facebook to reject other people, right? They change their profile pictures. They change their relationship status. They say, you made me mad, I'm taking you off and I'm going to reject you. Oh, you made me mad, I'm going to unfriend you. Right? And that happens each and every day. I had a moment of rejection just a few weeks ago on Facebook. Man, Pastor Cash and Jane told me there's this Facebook page that you've got to join. It's for pastors in the Church of God. And it was called the Most Excellent Pastor of the Church of God. And I'm like, well, I think I'm an excellent pastor. I'm going to join. You know, so I go on and I click join. Well, it's a private group, so they have to accept you. Well, about 3-4 days later, Sister Jane comes up to me and she says, hey, Pastor Steve, did you get on that group okay? And I said, you know what? I didn't check. Let me check. You know, I wasn't even concerned about it until I checked. I wasn't even worried about it until I looked it up. And I went, well, golly gee, you know, they didn't accept me. And Sister Jane said, well, my gosh, that they are going to accept you. And I'm thinking, that's right. They ought to accept me. Right? What's wrong with me? Am I not excellent enough for the Most Excellent Pastor group? What is that about? And I had a moment of rejection in my life. And she started calling people. I'm sitting right there. It's a Wednesday, 5 minutes before church, and she's dialing people up. I want to know why Pastor Cash wasn't received into this group. Not Pastor Cash, Pastor Steve wasn't accepted into this group. Right? She's calling people. And I'm sitting there listening. I'm like, yeah, I want to know too. Huh? You know? Why wasn't I? Does the Church of God not want me? What is this, you know? And she sat there, and then she said, I'll get to the bottom of it, Steve. Don't you worry about it. And she dropped it, and I dropped it, and we both forgot about it, right? And that didn't bother me at all, right, until the other day. And I'm riding in the car with Pastor Ronnie, and we had just gone to check on some houses that were flooded, and we were on our way back, and we stopped for lunch somewhere up in Inglis, and we pulled into this little restaurant, and we're getting out, and we're walking in. And he goes, hey, man, did you see that status update on the Most Excellent Pastor page? Did you read that? Wasn't that crazy? And I went, No, I didn't see it because they didn't accept me. You know, and he's like, whoa. No, I didn't yell that bad, but I think I was a little gruff. Like, they didn't want me in their group. So I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. Matter of fact, I'm going to get a gallon of ice cream and sit on the couch with some ice cream and Netflix, right? Maybe they don't want me because I'm a little chunky through the middle. You know what? I'll make myself chunkier, then see if they want me, right? Maybe that's how I'll feel, right? But isn't that true about rejection? You cannot be thinking about anything to do with it, that initial rejection, and then all of a sudden something comes up in your life and instantly pain returns. Instantly it returns. Point number two today is this. Rejection takes a toll. This is what rejection does. And this is why we need to be delivered from it. The spirit of rejection cheats the person out of what God wants to do in their life. I'm going to say that again because I want you to get it. The spirit of rejection cheats the person out of what God wants to do in their life. How does it do that? Because rejection drives people to drink. It drives people to drugs. It drives people to illicit sex. It drives people to anything else other than God trying to fill the void. I've heard pastors say before that if anything drives you away from God, it's not of God. So God did not give you that spirit of rejection. God wants to remove that spirit of rejection off of your life. See, rejection causes people to behave contrary to the set of beliefs, morals, or character. And you may say to me this morning, Pastor Steve, you telling me that somebody that is sleeping around, somebody that's drinking too much, somebody that's experimenting with drugs, somebody that's trying to fill this hole, you telling me they have a set of morals? You telling me they have character? Huh. Because to me, if they're behaving like that, they don't have a set of morals or character, right? No. That is completely and utterly false because I've seen people rise up in the church and then all of a sudden take a left turn and turn to alcohol and turn to drugs and turn to sex, trying to fill a void that they left behind with God. And they try to fill that void, and it's fueled by the spirit of rejection because something came upon them, something hurt them, something made them think that they weren't good enough to be seeking God, so they took a hard left and they went out into the world trying to be good enough. And I'm here to tell you this morning that by the world's standards, none of you will ever be good enough. But by God's standards, he sent his only begotten son to die on a cross, to take 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails, to bleed profusely for you and me because he thought you were worth it. Because he thought you were worth saving. So quit trying to chase the world's ideals of acceptance and chase God's ideal of acceptance, which says that it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how far away from him I stray. All I have to do is repent. Repent. Repent means turn around. Repent means stop doing what it was you were doing that broke the heart of God and was tearing you up from the inside out, and turn around and begin to walk opposite of the direction that you were heading and seek a holy God who will come down and plead the blood of Jesus over you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet so that you are white and clean and righteous in the sight of the Father. What makes me clean and righteous in the sight of the Father? Jesus' blood. Jesus' blood. Rejection takes a toll. Point number three is this. Rejection can be healed. Get that in your spirit this morning. Rejection can be healed. Come help me, Josh. There's four steps to healing rejection. I'm going to give them to you quickly. Forgiveness is step one. Who did this to you? Who hurt you? Whether they meant to or whether they didn't. Whether it was intentional or whether it was false. Who did it to you? Who hurt you? Forgive them. Not partial forgiveness, total forgiveness. What's the difference? Partial forgiveness is doing it under your own power. Total forgiveness is doing it under God's. is saying, God, I don't know if I have it in me to forgive them or not, so I need your help. I need your power. I need your strength to help me forgive them. That's total forgiveness. That's giving it to God. Step two, find confidence through God. Don't find confidence in this world. Don't find confidence in your job. Don't find confidence in your hobby. Find confidence in God. Believe today that he loves me. Turn to a neighbor this morning and say, he loves me. If you don't have a neighbor sitting close to you, say it to yourself. He loves me. I'm here to tell you this morning that you are worthy of his love because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. You deserve healthy relationships. You deserve a great marriage. You deserve a great relationship with God. Romans chapter 8 is how we open this sermon, and that's how I'm closing this sermon. In verse 31, we read through it, and it talked about there is no separation for those that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is no separation between you and God. And Romans chapter 8, this could be the book against the spirit of rejection. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it starts out what? Therefore, there is no condemnation. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life, and Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So chapter 8 starts with, there is now no condemnation. And it ends with, there is now no separation. And the spirit of rejection is anti both of those messages. The spirit of rejection says you are condemned and you are as far from God as you could ever be. And there is no returning. There is no getting back. So it says you're separated from God to no avail and you are condemned. That's what the spirit of rejection says. And then right there in number four is a prayer of deliverance. I skipped step three. Step three is asking for and receiving forgiveness for the behaviors that were caused by your rejection. Okay, so not only do you forgive those who rejected you, you have to ask forgiveness for the behaviors that you did after you were rejected. Because the spirit of rejection is not an excuse to behave however we want. You still have to go to God for forgiveness, and you have to go to the people for forgiveness. So ask for forgiveness. And step four is a prayer of deliverance from a spirit of rejection. A prayer of deliverance. Romans 8:15, right in the middle of 8:1 and 8:31. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." You did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear. But you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Sing the first verse in the chorus. Everybody stand and sing this with us. Now this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to close. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar this morning. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'd like to have every head bowed, every eye closed. And first and foremost, before we close the service, I want to give anybody in here an opportunity to accept Christ as their Savior. If there is anybody in this room right now that has never accepted the love of Christ, you cannot get delivered from the spirit of rejection. First, you must accept the love of Christ so that there can be no condemnation and no separation between you and God so that we can deliver the spirit of rejection. So if there's anybody in this room that needs to accept Christ, I'm going to ask you to slip a hand up and put it back down. Is there anybody in this room that has never accepted him? Okay. I'm going to assume that everybody in here is a born-again believer. I'm also going to assume that there's some people in here that need to be delivered from a spirit of rejection today. So this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Whether you need it or not, I'm going to ask you to speak the prayer as I say it. And those that need it, you believe it in your heart. Those that don't need it, as you speak it, believe it for those that do. Repeat after me. Lord, by your power, not by my own, by your power, I command the spirit of rejection when people rejected me, when my friends rejected me, when my parents or family rejected me, to come out of me now in the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of rejection and self-rejection to come all the way out and leave me now, never to return, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of any demonic influence that is causing problems in my life. All their kindred spirits, I command them to leave me now. I forgive everyone that offended me. And I ask you to bless them and save them. I receive acceptance from you, Lord. You are my Father, and I know you love me. I break the power of this infirmity in my life in the name of Jesus, and I apply the blood over me and my family in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give God a hand clap of praise. I believe wholeheartedly that if you were dealing with a spirit of rejection in here today and you prayed that prayer earnestly, that God delivered you here in this place this morning. God is good. God bless you. Classes have already started. Sing us out, Josh.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.